Blessed are the heavens, for they declare the power of creation. Blessed is the earth, our beloved home, for she is a planet of plenitude. Blessed are the waters thereon, for they gave rise to living things. Blessed is the land, the very soil, for it is the source of life abundant. Blessed is the air we breathe, for it fires us to life and love. Blessed are the beasts of the field, for they are glorious to behold. Blessed are the birds of the air, for they curve a graceful arc in the sky. Blessed are the mountains and the seas and the valleys, for their variety makes rich our habitat. Blessed are the fields of grain, the orchards of fruit, for they give sustenance, asking little in return. Blessed are the dwellers on the earth, for they cherish the privilege of living on it. Blessed are they who protect the earth and all her creatures, from the plants of the field to the trees of the forest, for their reward will be harmony with the entire web of existence. So this morning, rejoice and be glad, for the earth and her people are one. These opening words this morning, Beatitudes for Earth Day by Richard S. Gilbert. They welcome all who have gathered this morning for our Sunday service. Welcome to those of you who are here in the building at Essex Church. Welcome to those who are joining us via Zoom from far and wide. Those who are catching up on our YouTube channel or listening into the podcast at a later date, our wider congregation all around the world. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Jane Blackall and I'm minister with Kensington Unitarians. Welcome one and all. This morning's service, as you may already have gathered, marks Earth Day, which is actually tomorrow, Monday the 22nd of April. It's a day to honour our planet, to raise awareness of environmental action, conservation and sustainability, a day to foster a deeper connection with nature in hope that that will motivate us to care more deeply for this precious planet. And so this service is titled In Touch with the Soil. We're really focusing in on the earth bit, the earthy bit of Earth Day. In the coming hour, through readings, reflections and a time of sharing later in the service, we'll take time to appreciate and give thanks for the very dirt beneath our feet. But before we go any further, we'll light our chalice flame. It's something we do each time we gather. It's a moment for us to gather ourselves, to remember why we're here and what we came for, to set aside perhaps any agitation we came in carrying, and focus our attention so that we can be present and co-create this sacred space together. This simple ritual connects us in solidarity with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over, and it reminds us of the proudly progressive religious tradition of which this gathering is part. May the light of this chalice be a reminder of the shared values and principles round which we gather, upholding the inherent worth and dignity of every person, cherishing all those diverse creatures and habitats with whom we share this earth, our home, seeking human liberation and flourishing, and serving the common good of all. Time for us to sing now. Our first hymn is number 32 in your purple hymn books, if you're in the church. Earth was given as a garden. And for those joining via Zoom, the words will be up on screen. There are so many earth-based hymns in our hymn books. I was spoilt for choice, but I am going to introduce a new one later on today. This one is a familiar tune, though. Number 32, Earth was given as a garden.
Thank you.
Let's take all of those joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken, into an extended time of prayer now. This prayer is based on some words for Earth Day by Lucy Bunch. You might want to adjust your position to get more comfortable. You might want to close your eyes. If there's a posture that helps you to feel more prayerful, whatever helps you to get into the right state of body and mind for us to pray together now, to be fully present in this sacred time and space with ourselves, with each other, and with that which lies within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our full attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and the stillness at the very center of our being. This morning, as we celebrate Earth Day and honor this planet that is our one and only home, we pray with gratitude for Earth's holding and sustaining love, for the air, the water, and the soil that feed us, for the mountains and rivers and oceans that calm our spirits, for nurturing and supporting all beings and all creation. We pray with humility. Help us to remember our place in the great web of life. Help us to remember that we are but a part of this great web, and that we must each do our part for all life to survive, to thrive, to flourish. We pray for forgiveness for our ignorance and disregard of the damage we humans have done to this earth, to the air, the waters, the soil, and the life of this beautiful planet. And we pray for fortitude to uphold our part in reversing the damage we humans have caused, and to make and sustain a commitment to do our part to help heal this planet. Hold us and sustain us as we strive to live in connection with the earth, with all life, with all our relations. And in a few quiet moments now, let us each take some time to pray inwardly the prayers of our own hearts, calling to mind all those souls we know to be suffering this day, whether close to home or on the other side of the world. Let's hold all of these sacred beings in the light of love. And let us also pray for ourselves, for we too are sacred beings who face our own struggles and muddle through life's ups and downs as best we can. Let's take a few more quiet moments to reflect on our own lives and ask for what we most need this day. Perhaps comfort or guidance or forgiveness, whatever we most need to flourish. And let us take just a little longer to remember all the good things in life and give thanks for them. All those moments this past week where we have encountered generosity or kindness or pleasure. Let us cultivate a spirit of gratitude as we recall all of those moments that have lifted our spirits this week. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer draws to a close, we offer up our joys and our concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness, and we call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen. Time to sing again now. Our next hymn, I think this is new to us. It's number 211 in our purple books. Where are the voices for the earth? 211. I think it's a perfectly singable tune, but George is going to play it through once in full before we stand to sing to help us out. The words will also be up on screen. Let's give it our best go. 211, where are the voices for the air?
The Mysterious Sounds of the Underground. This reading is an excerpt from an article published in The Guardian just this week by Phoebe Weston. It gives an insight into the wondrous complexities of the unseen and oft-neglected world beneath our feet. The sound of an earthworm is a distinctive rasping and scrunching. Ants sound like the soothing patter of rain. A passing, tunneling vole makes a sound like a squeaky dog's toy repeatedly being chewed. On a spring day at Rothamsted Research, an agricultural research institution in Hertfordshire, singing skylarks and the M1 motorway are competing for the airwaves. But the attention here is on the soundscapes underfoot, a rich ecosystem with its own alien sounds. More than half the planet's species live in the soil, and we are just starting to tune in to what they are up to. Beetle larvae, millipedes, centipedes, and wood lice have other sound signatures, and scientists are trying to decipher which sounds come from which creatures. In a field divided up into test strips, Carlos Abrahams pushes a sensor the length of a knitting needle into the soil. With a pair of headphones on, he listens to the poor man's rainforest, a dark landscape of miniature caves, tunnels, and decomposing matter stewing away under our feet. Scientists from the University of Warwick are building up libraries of subterranean sounds. The soil makes different noises depending on the season and whether it's night or day. Even in the afternoon, when the soil has warmed up, sounds get richer, research suggests. Researcher Dr. Jacqueline Stroud says, "The soil is such a mystery. This is like opening the door and seeing what is going on below ground. And it's a different way of exploring the world." Last year, a study found soil was the single most species-rich habitat on Earth, with more than half of all species living in it. But only a fraction have been identified, and most are too small to see. Noisy soil is generally healthier because it contains a greater range of bugs and worms busying around. Soil organisms alter and improve the structure of soil by passing nutrients between one another and creating an environment that is well ventilated and diverse. These webs provide food, fiber, and clean water for people. And of course, topsoil is where 95% of the planet's food is grown. Soils that have little biodiversity are much more fragile. They have lost the structure and connections that keep particles together. This means that they are more likely to be washed away by floods or blown away by strong winds. An estimated 24 billion tons of fertile soil is lost every year through intensive farming. In total, there are 70 scientists working on this bit of land, marked out in 66 plots of 24 meters by 24 meters, finding out new things about soil structures, viruses, microbes, and fungi, and trialing more ecological ways of farming, making it among the most studied soil in the world.
Thanks, John. It felt like a real bit of serendipity when that article popped up in The Guardian on Friday, because I'd already decided what we were going to be looking at today. So we're moving into a time of meditation now. I'm going to share a poem on soil and soul, to take us into about 3 minutes of silence, which will end with the sound of a bell. And then we're going to hear some more lovely bassoon activity. So let's each do what we need to do to get comfortable. You might want to put down anything you don't need to be holding. You might want to make sure your feet are flat on the floor. Whatever helps you to feel grounded and steady. And as I always say, the words are just an offering. Feel free to use this time to meditate in your own way. Soil by Irene Matthew. The way you say soil sounds like soul. As in, after we walked through the woods, my feet were covered in soul. When it rains, the soul turns to mud. The soul is made of decomposed plant and animal matter. Edaphology is the study of the soul's influence on living things, while pedology is the study of how soul is formed, its particular granularity. You are rooted in a certain red patch of soul that bled you and your 100 cousins to life, a slow, warm river you call home. Maybe there is soul under everything, even when we strike rock first. The way you say soil, you make a poem out of every speck of dirt. I've got another reading for you now. This is a slightly longer reading than usual, about 5 minutes. I think that's all right because we haven't got a sermon today. It's by Satish Kumar. I'm not sure how to describe him if you've not encountered him before. He founded the Resurgence Trust, and on their website it says, now in his 80s, Satish Kumar has devoted his life to campaigning for ecological regeneration, social justice and spiritual fulfillment. And this is an excerpt from a talk he gave back in 2012 on a theme that he returned to again and again from many angles. It's titled Soil, Soul, Society. He writes, many historical movements in the world have three key words that express their spirit. During the French Revolution, for example, the key words were liberté, égalité, fraternité. And in the American Declaration of Independence, you find the words life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberté, égalité, fraternité is a very nice trinity, but it is very human. Human fraternity, human liberty, human equality. In the same way, in the Declaration of Independence, life is primarily human life. Liberty is human liberty. Happiness is human happiness. We've come to think somehow that human beings are the centre of the universe. It's as if we are the most important species and that the Earth's other species are all in our service. But this worldview is no longer valid, especially once we realise that we are utterly dependent on other species. We're not the rulers of the world here to do what we like. We have to take care of the other species because we are all made of each other. We're not separate. We're all related. We're all members of one Earth community. So we need a new trinity to replace those human-centred ones. We need a new trinity that is more holistic, more inclusive, one that embraces the entire planet and not just our species. So I propose a new trinity, soil, soul, society. And at the top of this trinity is the word soil, which represents the entire natural world. For without soil, there is no food. Without food, there is no life, no trees, no forests. So soil represents life on Earth. In our human-centered worldview, in our education systems, in our study of science and technology, we've come to think that soil simply means dirt and that dirt means dirty. But dirt is not dirty. Dirt is the source of life. Without dirt, there is no life. Soil, therefore, represents all natural life and the fact that we are related to and dependent on the soil. We seem to think food just comes from the supermarket. Most of us don't grow our own food these days. Growing food in some ways has been seen as a sign of underdevelopment. The word peasant itself has become something of an insult. I want to change that. I want to say that we must touch the soil. We must put our hands into the soil. How many times do you touch your mobile phone every day? Maybe 100 times? How many times do you touch the soil? Hardly ever, I imagine. I want to give dignity to peasants, to those who grow food, to the farmers and the gardeners. Soil is so important, yet we have forgotten it. Yes, we are important too, but the human species is only one of 7.8 million species on Earth. We are not the kings. We are not an imperial power, and Earth is not a human colony. At the moment, we behave as if we can do what we like. We can cause global warming. We can change the climate, we can alter the soil, we can destroy the rainforests, we can overfish the ocean. This attitude must change. This is why I put the soil first. We're all part of this healthy web of life maintained by soil. Soil makes us humble. To be human is to be humble. The Latin word humus means soil. Human, humility and humus all come from the same root. The soil is so fertile, yet so humble. And when humans lose humility, they are no longer human. Once the Buddha was sitting in meditation with his right hand above the palm of his left hand, and someone came to him and asked, Lord Buddha, you teach compassion, forgiveness, love and forbearance. From where did you learn all these wonderful qualities? Who is your teacher? The Buddha lifted his right hand into the Bhumisphara Mudra, which means touch the earth posture, and pointing towards the soil, he said, I learned my forgiveness, compassion, friendship, kindness, and all the wonderful qualities of love, beauty, unity, and generosity from the earth. And Satish Kumar concludes, if we all have a holistic view of soil, soul, and society, if we can understand the interdependence of all living beings and understand that all creatures, from trees to worms to humans, we all depend on one another, then perhaps we can live in harmony with ourselves, with other people, and with nature. Words from Satish Kumar. So we've got a bit of time now, 8 to 10 minutes maybe, for anyone who wants to share our own brief reflections on the soil and us. That's what I'll put in the order of service. What's our relationship with the soil? What experiences of communing with the earth have we known? I invite anyone who wants to join in to come up to the lectern, I think, rather than that mic, and just share, like we do in Joys and Concerns. We're going to mix and mingle with people online want to join in. Just chip in when you're ready, and we'll see how we go. I'll keep an eye on the clock. There's always a balance to be struck. I don't know how many people are going to want to join in. I don't want to inhibit anybody sharing, but do bear in mind how long you're speaking for so that everyone who wants to join in can do so. By default, this will stay in the recording of the service. If you want to be edited out, just let me know straight afterwards, and I'll do that before it goes online. It's an invitation, not an obligation. So if anyone wants to get the ball rolling and speak about soil, go on, Pat.
Hello, everyone. This is one of my favourite subjects. Earthworms are our friends. I am privileged to be the caretaker of a small allotment in West London. It is an oasis of calm in the midst of the busyness of the city, and I'm always grateful to spend time there. I have learned that in order to grow healthy plants, the soil is most important and needs earthworms to dwell within to bring better drainage and increase nutrient availability. The earthworm may be small, spineless, and blind, but its impact on the ecosystem is profound. It ploughs the soil, fights plant diseases, cleans up pollution, and turns ordinary dirt into fertile land. In her book, The Earth Moved, on the remarkable achievements of earthworms, Amy Stewart writes, "Any environment, any single life is in a continuous state of change. This is just more obvious when you pay attention to earthworms. Their work may seem unspectacular at first. They don't chirp or sing. They don't gallop or soar. They don't hunt or make tools or write books. But they do something just as powerful. They consume, they transform, they change the earth. I have come to understand, like Darwin had, that earthworms are not destroyers, but redeemers. I know that having worms around in my garden is a real good sign that I have healthy soil. So every time I visit, I give thanks to these wonderful beings. And I tickle their bellies, I have to tell you. They continue to plough the soil and help my plants to bloom. Many blessings, dear worms."
Thanks, Pat. I knew you'd have something to say. Go for it.
Yes, my dad was a farmer in Leicestershire, so I was so lucky to grow up on a farm and just, I was in a house with just fields around me and just being able to wander in the countryside, and I see how good it is for people and, it, just to really appreciate the land. And I do pray for farmers that, they can find ways to survive, and I always shop at the farmers' markets. Luckily, there's some good ones in London, and I love to talk to them all. And even some of them knew my dad, all these years ago. And just it's so good for us even to get out in the green spaces we have, and to enjoy the countryside. So I was lucky for that.
Thanks, Margaret.
I'm glad that we've heard something this morning about animals in the soil. I was expecting, you know, it to be predominantly about plants. So I've got another little story about animals. On my balcony, there's an unused trough planter. It's about 90 centimetres by 20 by 90 long, 20 by 20. And the balcony is open to communal gardens, but has a ceiling which forms the floor of the balcony of the flat above. The soil in the planter is quite dry. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not a great... I've got two plants in the flat and that's it. But about a couple of years ago, I was surprised to see some bees buzzing around and going down holes they'd made. And checking this morning, they're still there. I saw three of them. I've got a photo of a bee and a hole if anyone would like to see that afterwards. Online, I looked up burrowing bees, and there's lots of advice and products for getting rid of these burrowing bees or soil mining bees. But I don't want to do that. They don't seem to be doing any harm, and they may be doing some good in pollinating local flowers.
Thanks, David. Another allotment here on the way.
Yeah, I'm the other half, and I love to dig. Now, there's a big problem with this because now I'm not allowed to dig because we have a no-dig policy on our beds because the fork might pierce a worm. But yesterday I was allowed to, we planted a hollyhock, and I was allowed to dig a hole for the hollyhock. So that was great. And actually the soil's not very good there. And guess what? No worms. And so I'm not allowed to dig anymore. But I realized yesterday when we were allotment, what I am allowed to do is dig over the compost, you know. So anyway, I'm going to indulge my love of digging in the compost bin now, not in the soil.
Thanks, John. I'll get my little say in now. Some of you know that I'm a big fan of growing tomatoes. And this started in my early teenage years. I think I was a bit odd as a sort of 12, 13-year-old that I would love this time of year to sit in the shed with a big bag of compost. In those days, it would have been peat, I'm sorry to say. But I stopped that a long time ago. But the absolute delight of getting my hands in that compost at this time of year has stayed with me. And actually, as every year goes on, at the end of the season, I tip all my old tomato containers onto the garden. We've been in that house since 1980, and you can see how the soil has improved over the years. So I feel really attached to that little plot of land, because you can see that we've looked after it for a long time. Anyone else got something to say about their relationship to the soil? Go on.
Just the very shortest description of what I do every morning. I get up, collect some pears and grapes, go upstairs to my roof, and feed the birds, like peanuts and sunflower seeds and grapes and pears. And then I sit and look at the greenery, and almost always, when I'm sort of a bit grey from getting up early, everything changes. The birds come, starlings galore, I tell you, they love it. And I love it and love them and feel incredibly loved by them. And it makes a whole difference in my life and every day.
I've had some time living with the indigenous in the Amazon jungle, and they all the time they say that the soil is flying, and we never understood what they said. We thought it was a metaphor or something like that. And some years ago, they burned a lot of the jungle, like 30% more. It was 2019, and the smoke went through the path of what is called now the flying rivers, because the rivers are also flying, and through the rains. And then instead of having the rains that used to come from the Amazon jungle to the cities, Rio de Janeiro, São Paulo in Brazil, we had smog all over the continent, and the smog reached Africa and some parts of China too. So that I find it really important for us to understand that the soil is flying and all around us. And they have this one song that I found really beautiful that says that it's from the more Christian indigenous, and they say, beware this land you're stepping on, beware this air that you're breathing, because it's the same land that Jesus put his feet on. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more sharings, either online or in the room? If everyone who wants to speak has spoken, thank you all for your contributions. To wrap up this time of sharing, I just want to share the words from Wendell Berry. They're in fact on the order of service if you're in the room. The soil is the great connector of lives, the source and destination of all. Without proper care for it, we can have no community, because without proper care for it, we can have no life. Amen. Time for our last hymn now then. It's number 156 in your purple books, The Earth is the Lord's. I think the tune is pretty well known, but George will play it through for us once again. Sing up as best you can for our closing hymn. Announcements then. Thanks to Ramona for tech hosting, thanks to Janine for co-hosting and welcoming everyone online, thanks to John for reading and everyone who contributed to our sharing, thanks to Holly and Alison and George for splendid music again today, thanks to Julia for greeting, and I see Pat's already gone out to put the kettle on, John's also helping in the kitchen. For those of you who are here in person, we've got some pear and ginger cake, if that's enough of an inducement to stay on. If you're on Zoom, please do stay for a chat with Janine. At 12:30 today, Margaret is leading a Finding Your Voice singing class. That's free of charge. She can help everybody make a better sound. Do stay along for that. And if you want to stay on after, Hannah is leading community yoga. Slightly shortened session, starting whenever the singing finishes. About 1:15, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah?
Awesome.
Yes, also free. We've got our regular Heart and Soul Contemplative Spiritual Gathering online tonight and Friday. This week's theme is sleep. I must have been tired when I was deciding what the theme was. This is a great way to get to know people at a deeper level, so do sign up if you'd like to come along. We think we've got community singing this Wednesday night, but if you're intending to come, make sure you're on my email list and I will keep you posted if there are any last minute changes of plan. David's going to come up and say a few words about a couple of other events that are coming up in the next week.
Morning. As you probably all know, on May the 2nd, we Londoners get a chance to vote for the mayor, new mayor of London. This Thursday, the 25th of April, there is an opportunity, probably the only opportunity, to see the two leading contenders, that's the Conservative and the Labour mayor, put through their paces and asked questions, identical questions, which, and they will be asked to commit to certain things around living wage, the environment, housing, other issues. They will each be given the opportunity to reply. This is not a hustings. There won't be any questions from the floor. It won't work like that. This is where they're asked to make commitments to which they are prepared to be held. And this is being organised by citizens, London citizens, of which we became a member, this congregation became a member earlier this year. The opportunity is that for everyone who wants to go can go. You have to register. Anyone who wants to go can give me their email while I'm having coffee and I will send you the link to register. It starts at 6 in the evening and goes on until 8:30. So that is that.
Where is it?
Pardon?
Where is it?
It's at the Methodist Central Hall and we are expecting 2,000 people to be there. The previous live hustings like this was in 2016 and Sadiq Khan said it was the most important event in the whole of the campaign. Before that, at 4 o'clock in the
Bloomsbury
Baptist Church in Covent Garden, there is a multi-faith ceremony, service, call it what you will. Citizens is made up of churches, mosques, schools, synagogues, food banks, all kinds of organisations. And the idea is that people can get together and talk about how they practice their faith in community organising and the quest for justice. And people will, if they wish, process from there to the Methodist Central Hall for the main event of the night. Again, it will be necessary to register. This is for security reasons, and I can send the link. The other thing, nothing to do with that, on this Saturday, on the 27th, there's something called the Unlock Walk. Some 40 years ago, the then Bishop of London thought it would be a good idea if churches in the outer suburbs learned what was happening in the inner suburbs so that they could support them if they wished. And this is the mechanism for this was to organize a walk. And each year since then, there's been a walk in different parts of London. It happens that this year, it's right here. So I will be at the Salvation Army Hall at the top of Portobello Road at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And if anyone wants to come and have a walk and see what's going on in our neighbourhood, please join us. Patricia and I will be there. If you just want to know what's going on, again, give me your email and I will send you the link to the map and to the, all the background to it. So, thank you. Sorry to go on.
And actually, the link to the map is in the Friday email if you've already signed up to our mailing list, so you can get all the details from there. Nearly finished with the announcements. Next Sunday, we have our Better World Book Club in the evening. I've still got one last copy of the book for this month. There's still time to read it, What's in a Name by Sheila Banerjee. If you're expecting to be there and you haven't already told me, do sign up and I'll make sure you get the link. And please do pick up a flyer if you want to know all of our book choices going through to August. There's loads of flyers in the foyer. And next week's also our membership service and AGM. Please do fill in your membership form as soon as you can to reaffirm your belonging to the congregation if you haven't already done so. It's about committing your heart rather than permitting any money or anything else. It's about saying you believe in this church and you feel you belong. You should, if you're a member, already have received the draft annual report by email, so do have a go of reading that before next weekend if you can. All the activities are on the back of the order of service. They're in the Friday email. This church very much has a life beyond Sunday mornings, and we encourage you to look out for each other, nurture supportive connections, and do what you can to keep in touch. Just time for our closing words and closing music now. As we go forth from this sacred space, may we celebrate Earth and our shared lives. May we recognise our connections to all that is in and on Earth. May we truly and deeply value the inherent worth of all in this astonishing interconnected web of existence. May we commit ourselves in a new way. And may we hold our commitments and each other gently yet firmly. Go well and blessed be. Amen.
Thank you.